See the shining sea. Someone always has to take an alternative route. All right. Unpredictable nature of life. Very refreshing. Now, let me ask you, how many of you would have liked to have done that? Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. It does kind of loosen things up. Today's a great day to be in the house of the Lord, as you know, today, later in the service and following the service. We'll be honoring Brandon Hudson today. As you know, he is preparing to begin his journey with the Marines. And so I know many of you are here today to celebrate with him and to support him. And so this is a great day in the life of Berea Baptist Church. So we are glad that everyone can be here. There are a couple of announcements that I want to make, and then we'll do birthdays, and I'm going to save the prayer request to the end. As far as announcements to make, today, immediately following the service, one of the things that Brandon had asked for was a picture with everyone. So we're just going to assemble here at the front of the church. And please, everyone that is here, please be part of it. This was something that he had requested, and it becomes an important keepsake. And it's something that gives you a good reminder in those times when you need reminding, which many of us know come often. And so I want you to be a part of that, and of course will be the fellowship meal following that. Also, at 6 o'clock today, we will have choir practice. Next Sunday, also because of the summer months in the deacons' meeting, and I think I'm free to share this, the decision was made so that we could include as many people as possible in conference rather than having it later in the afternoon. It will be immediately following the service. And so that will be for July and for August because we want to have maximum participation from the congregation. Also be marking your calendars for the Saturday the 27th from 2 to 4. We have a children's activity for ages it says 1 to 6, so essentially birth to 6. I think we could probably address that one as well if we needed to, but it's a children's activity, so please spread the word, and something that we look forward to being able to do. Also, as an announcement, we have received a note from the Gideons and the Durham South Camp, and what they do is every 11 weeks or so, they pray for different churches. And so they were letting us know that they met on July 11th, which would have been Thursday. They met that morning, and they were praying for Berea Baptist Church. So we are thankful that we're in their prayers. They're a ministry that we have supported for a long, long time, have many people that have been involved within it. And so it is always good to know that people are praying for us. And in the sermon, I'm going to get into a part. I don't think we have any idea of how many groups are praying for us right now. And this was just a fantastic thing to hear this morning. I'm going to mention several of those. Phil and I had the opportunity this week to meet with the emergency chaplain ministry and the head of that. And there's some really exciting opportunities there. This is a ministry to first responders. And this is something that persons that, of course, are ministers can participate, but lay people can participate in it as well. And there is training that takes place with that. And this is a ministry to first responders and also perhaps to families that are on any situation that may arise. And so they're, Phil and I are looking through all of the material now. There are several things that can be done in that regard, and we'll keep you updated. But this is something that is a very promising ministry. And so if this is something that you have any interest in, or you know someone
who would be interested in serving in this capacity. Training is provided. This is a real strong, critical opportunity that we have because they try to get this network throughout all counties in North Carolina. So it's a very powerful opportunity. So please keep that in mind. Any other announcements before I get to prayer requests? We got most of those. Okay, I do have a birthday request, and I must confess, you know, since I'm new back here, I'm not on the list anymore. But this Friday is my birthday, so that you will know, I will not be 39 on Friday, but I will be 66, which is a significant event. But don't worry, I'm not retiring. So. But I do have, and I will. And I do appreciate that very much. It's always good to have a birthday. I'm glad they keep coming around. There are some prayer requests that we do want to mention. Please remember Erin Hamlet and her young child still within the hospital, and so receiving care. So we want to remember them. Also, Elizabeth, we are glad that you were here today after your experience last week, and yes, and we're thankful when things can be done, and we will pray that things will continue to go well. Jim, we're glad that things turned out well for you as well. Hey, Jesse, how you doing, bud? That's called welcoming in church. are glad that that worked out as well. Dennis, it's glad to have you back. I know I saw you here a second ago. Oh, yeah, there they are. So, yeah, I'm glad that you're on this side of everything. So glad that you're here. Also continue to remember Aubrey Vickers and, of course, Juanita as well, and William Small. Remember to keep him and the family in your prayer. And also Linda Fogelman, please continue to remember them as well. I also want you, if you would please, to add Johanna Tyler, Carolyn, our youngest daughter, to your prayer list. We Mark and Carolyn and I spent a good deal of Friday afternoon and Friday night in the emergency room over at Duke Regional. She's having some flare-ups with some heart-related issues that she has had before, irregular heartbeats and things that are tied to that. And so she was supposed to be in Iowa City tomorrow. She is not going to Iowa City tomorrow. She is going to the cardiologist. So please keep her in your prayers as well as the baby Tyler that is on the way. So we would appreciate that very, very much. Any other prayer requests that we need to mention? If not, let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we are so thankful that we have the opportunity to speak with you through prayer, and that we know that you hear us, and we know that you respond to our cries. Our Lord, we thank you for all the blessings that we have, for the favor that we receive, and to know that you love us and that that love never, ever stops. We know that you answer us, but we also know that you answer us in your time. So we lift up each of these prayer concerns to you, knowing that they will be answered in your way. Help us to accept and understand your answers, and we give praise, glory, and honor to you as we worship together today. Amen.
Our opening hymn this morning will be "To God Be the Glory," hymn 28. We will sing the first and the third verses of 28. Let us stand and sing.
please take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 51. This is a very powerful psalm of David, in which David really pours his heart out to God. It's a very personal psalm. It's one that I refer to personally often because I find that I need it. And it is a very important source of strength. It reminds us of how lives are transformed. And of course, what we'll be speaking today in the sermon today is transformed lives and how they are transformed throughout our life, which ties very much into us honoring Brandon today. And so we learn from Paul about a transformed life, but we also learn from David as well. And so I want to share with you verses 6 through 13. I know it says 16, but I meant to put 13. And so I said, why'd I do that? But I don't know. But it's 6 through 13. So may we share the Lord's wisdom. Surely you desire integrity in the inner self, and you teach me wisdom deep within. Purify me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Turn your face away from my sins and blot out all my guilt. And then this verse. This is the one that you may, in most translations that you have, it says, create in me a pure heart. This translation, I'm using the Christian Standard. God, create a clean heart for me and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore the joy of your salvation to me and sustain me by giving me a willing spirit. Then I will teach the rebellious generation your ways, and sinners will return to you. Confession, clean heart, steadfast spirit, willing spirit, and then, of course, proclaiming God's grace and mercy.
We have a slight change to the bulletin. Our offertory hymn is going to be 652, Jesus Loves Me. Let's stand and sing the first and the fourth verses of 652. Everybody stand and listen.
Yes, the Bible does tell us that Jesus loves us so much that he died for us, and he took upon our sins upon himself, and he defeated the power of death, Yes, Jesus does love us. And we are thankful that we can bring our tithes and our offerings and our gifts today so that others throughout this land and this world can also know that Jesus loves them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We could really stop today with Jesus Loves Me. That is the sermon and that is the gospel in itself. I think I've told you one time before that the famous Swiss theologian Karl Barth wrote a massive commentary on Romans, and he was asked one time, what is the essence of the gospel? And he quickly replied, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It is that simple, that profound, and that powerful. I invite you now to turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 9. We are working our way through the book of Acts, and we'll probably doing so through the end of November. It's important that we go back and look at what were the issues that the early Christians faced. And we find that many of these issues are the same issues that we face today. And therefore, they provide us great insight into the church, the power of the gospel. And so today, we're looking at the first 20 verses of chapter 9 in Acts. And it is the first of three accounts that are included in Acts of Paul's conversion experience. So you know by the fact that it was treated three times that this was something that was very, very important. And it was something that radically transformed Paul's life, even signifying a name change from Saul to Paul. So let's pick up with the very first verse. Now Saul was still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. Now this is also not just the disciples, but this is also a word for Christians as well. He went to the high priest and requested letters from them to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any men or women belonging to the way, another rephrase, that was used to talk about early Christians, he might bring them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Now, he was pretty adamant about that because that would have been a journey of 150 miles. So he wasn't playing. As he traveled and was nearing Damascus, a light from heaven suddenly flashed around him. Falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? Saul said. I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. But get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Now, Paul had a decision to make right then. Because he was stopped in his tracks. You know, life does that to us sometimes. We're stopped right in our tracks. Paul was having one of those moments. He had a decision to make. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the sound, but seeing no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. Nothing. So they took him by the hand and led him to Damascus. So we don't know how far along the way he was, but they had to lead him. He was unable to see for 3 days and did not eat or drink. There was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias, here I am, Lord," he replied. Now, I want you to think about something. Ananias is the leader of the group of Christians that are in Damascus. Word had gotten to these Christians that Saul was on the way. What Ananias is asked to do, I want us to put ourselves in his situation. And if God had told us to do this, what he's going to tell Ananias to do, would we do it? So he says, "Get up and go to the street called Straight. The Lord said to him, to the house of Judas, and ask for a man from Tarshish named Saul. Since he is praying there, in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and placing his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard from many people about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And we have authority here from the chief priest to arrest He has authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." Now that's a predicament. That's a real choice. Yeah, you're right. That's a predicament. Good comment. Right time. Opportune time. "But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for this man is my chosen instrument to take my name to Gentiles, kings, and Israelites. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.'" Now here's the irony. The persecutor becomes the persecuted one. God works that way sometimes. "Ananias went and entered the house. He placed his hands on him and said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road you were traveling, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' At once, something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul was with the disciples in Damascus for some time. Immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues. He is the Son of God." Amen.
The walls of God tear through my heart.
As you know, we sang that song because of the commitment that Brandon has made. And it is true, he will probably travel all parts of the world. But here's the good news about Brandon. He's committing to some leadership and to be a leader. But he's also a fine Christian young man. And everywhere he goes, he will be sharing the gospel through his presence, through the way he acts, through the way he presents himself. And so it's not just protection from harm, but it's also spreading the love that Jesus loves you everywhere you go. That's an awesome opportunity and an awesome responsibility. Transformed lives get our attention. We notice. That's what's so powerful about the gospel. It changes who we are from the inside out. Sometimes that change is massive and it's radical. Now, you know, we don't necessarily like change. Change sometimes scares us. We have our sweet spot. We have our comfort zone, and we like to stay in it. So change can be a little scary. We also know that sometimes change is necessary, for if we don't change, we may become obsolete. So we oftentimes have this dilemma. How can I change and still have my integrity and still not sacrifice my integrity? Well, sometimes change is so massive that it results in a life that is transformed. And we've just read about how David was continuing to have his life transformed and how he needed help along the way, continuously. That's recorded in Psalm 51. Go back and read that whole psalm. It's a very powerful psalm. We just kind of took the heart of it out. And then we look at Paul, one who was committed to destroying the church, who became its strongest advocate. Now, next week, we'll talk about Paul and the gospel to the Gentiles. And we're thankful for that because we are Gentiles. And so we'll pick that point up then. But a transformed life, when God gets a hold of you, God will take you places and into situations that you would never believe. But he doesn't just plop you there. He's there with you, and he strengthens you along the way. I want to tell three stories of changed lives, and then we'll comment on Paul, and then we will transition into the latter part of the service. One transformed life that really comes to mind to me is John Newton. John Newton's mother came from a nonconformist background. It was a religious background. They were, she was English. The nonconformists just didn't go along with the Church of England or the Anglicans or what we might know closest to it today, the Episcopalian. Just saw things a little differently. But he came. But his mother did let him know about God. Later on, though, John Newton kind of went in a different direction, and he became a sailor and also a slave trader. Very different life. Lived hard, hard living life. However, around 1745, one of the persons involved in the slave trade imprisoned him and turned John Newton over to his wife, who really gave him a hard time for about 3 years. He essentially became her slave. He was later released from that situation, got on board ship, almost had shipwreck. during those experiences, going back, that John Newton had an encounter with God that started a change which would continue for the next 20 years. The change was very significant. Foul mouth was cleaned up. The hard drinking stopped. And instead of cursing the Lord, he was beginning to see the power of the gospel. Later on in life, he would become good friends with William Wilberforce. Instead of becoming a slave trader, he was one of the most outspoken persons in England against the slave trade. Remember Paul, persecutor to the persecuted one? John Newton would have known about that. He had been in those shoes. So he helps and he works with Wilberforce in that fight to end slavery in England and in the British Empire. And it's during that period of time that John Newton pens next to Jesus Loves Me what might be the most famous hymn we know. Anybody have any idea what it is? Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. But then if you go back, here's the part of that song I like. I was lost, but now am found. Who found him? God found him. God seeks after us, and he finds us. The question is, are we willing to be found? Changed life. Marvelous impact. Second person, Nikki Cruz. Nikki Cruz was a gang leader of a group called the Mau Mau in New York City. They were wreaking havoc throughout some of the neighborhoods of New York. His mother had been part of a practice known as spiritualism in Puerto Rico. And she often referred to her son as the son of the devil. Kind of makes you think a little bit about Charles Manson, who claimed to be both Christ and the devil together. Very troubled young man, but he was a leader, and he was the leader of this gang. He met David Wilkerson, who then was very much involved in a group known as Teen Challenge. And he was working with the youth in the streets of New York City. So he told Nikki Cruz, he encountered him, he told him God loved him. You know what Nikki Cruz's response was? He threatened to kill him right there. Now, if you just shared the gospel and somebody threatened to kill you, what would you do? Yeah. What would you do? Yeah. You might decide, I got to think about this one. But you know what? David Wilkerson didn't stop. He later on had a rally in an armory. Oh, not an army, I'm sorry. It was a boxing arena. And they were trying to get the youth off the street to attend. And they were having some success. And the Mau Mau were there. Now, David Wilkerson had the audacity to ask the Mau Mau to take up the offering. So these gang leaders, these gang members, took up the offering. They had a decision to make, didn't they? Did we take the money and run, or do we give it? They gave it. And in that message that night, David Wilkerson reminded Nikki Cruz again that God loved him and he would never stop loving him. And that broke through. Now, I want you to think of this next scene and how you would respond to this. Nikki Cruz's life was changed, and he started working among the Mau Mau with this. And they decided later that they would take their bricks, their pipes, and their guns, and their knives, and march down to the police precinct and turn them in. And they came in mass to do it. The police thought at first, yeah, you're right. The police thought at first they were going to be attacked. And they were dumbfounded by what happened. Now that's something that only God can do. That's powerful. That's a transformed life. Nikki Cruz went on to work with David Wilkerson and then also later start his own ministries. If you want to read a good book, read Run, Baby, Run. That tells the story of his life. It's a really good book. And it's an old movie you can find as well. You can probably find it on YouTube. But a very powerful life. The third one is one that's closer by. Most of you know of New Hope Baptist Church. Benji Kelly has a very interesting story to tell. Gwen and Phil and Sandra have had a chance to hear some of that story firsthand. He recently wrote a book called Wrecked and Redeemed. Benji Kelly came from a home that did not know the Lord. And as a middle schooler and high schooler, he got into a lot of trouble real fast. Drinking, drugs, stealing, problems with the law. His life was spiraling out of control one day. He was driving drunk and high, running into things, and running away as hard as he could. But the law caught up with him. He went to jail. And this was serious this time. Went to jail. But in that setting, God had placed a prison chaplain or a jail chaplain. Here's the power of chaplains now. That chaplain spoke to him in that jail cell about God's love for him and what Jesus had done for him, gave him a copy of the Gospel of John and asked him to read it. Benji says, I had nothing else to do, so I read it. And the more he read, it spoke to him. Now, he had to go through some rehabilitation, and it wasn't an easy path. And no school system wanted him, so a Catholic school system took him, and he was able to finish. He later went on to the University of South Carolina, and he majored in all things. Now remember, he had drug issues, so he decided to major in pharmacy. True story. He said it's because it's the only thing I knew. But as he was going through that, he decided, no, the Lord is calling me in a different direction. And he responded to that direction. And so that response, which started with he had served a church, but then later was called to start another. And so from just he and his wife's also a minister, they both graduated from Duke Divinity School, decided to start New Hope. Now New Hope has 11 campuses. It's amazing what the power of the gospel can do. Now, we're on the two ends of Fayetteville Road. And Benji and I have talked about that. And they're praying for us. They're praying for us. But here's something else. The Gideons are praying for us. We got a letter just recently from Calvary Baptist Church. Their pastor is praying for us. The Central Baptist Faith Riders. We got biker groups praying for us. We met with the emergency chaplains with Dylan Stone this week. They are praying for us. There are a lot of people that are praying for Berea Baptist Church. Don't take that lightly. Don't take that lightly. We're on God's radar. We are on God's radar. and we have a message to proclaim. And as Paul was transformed, so can we. So can we. And we're getting ready to send out, Brandon, whether you realize it or not, you're going to be a missionary for us in the military. And we appreciate it, and we thank you for it. And we're proud of you, and we know that you will be faithful to the call. We know that. But look at Paul. Look at that life. So dedicated to destroying. He turns it completely around. Completely. God gets a hold of him. Because he really thought he was doing a good thing until he had that encounter with Jesus. And it knocked him off his feet. Thank God for Ananias. Ananias. Now think about it. If you got somebody, think about the person that's giving you the most grief. I'm going to make this where it really kind of hits home. Think about a person in your life that's giving you the most grief. Now, you don't have to say who it is. But think about who has given you the most grief. And then God tells you that you need to go to that person. And you are asking them to do something which is going to directly affect you. That's the situation that Ananias found himself in. But see, Ananias knew that when God is speaking, I have a decision to make. He decided to follow. Followed that decision, that instruction. And so he goes to Paul. He lays his hands upon Paul. And notice what happens. Remember how we've been talking about the importance of the gospel, the importance of prayer, fellowship, and discipleship as being the cornerstones of what we're about? Soon thereafter, Paul proclaims what? Jesus is the Son of God. Now, there were 30 to 40 synagogues in Jerusalem. He was going to bring out an all-out attack. Well, he still went to bring an all-out attack, but he had a different message this time. A very different message. Jesus is the Messiah. He also receives, if you notice in the Acts text, he receives the Holy Spirit and he's baptized and he starts proclaiming. Those are those foundational cornerstones that we talk about right there. That's the application to each one of these persons, whether it's John Newton, Nikki Cruz, whether it's Benji Kelly, whether it's Paul, whether it's you or me, all of us have that transformational experience. And so as we get ready to speak words over Brandon and give him our love and our support and our prayer, let's remember something. We have been blessed that Brandon was brought to us, and that he walked through these doors, and that we could love you, support you, walk with you, and you have continued to come back. You have accepted our love. You've participated with us. You've been a big part of this church. You are loved. You will be missed, but we're still there with you. But we thank you for that opportunity to be a part of your life. See that discipleship part? There's the outcome of it. There's the outcome. So today, we're going to have the invitation hymn. Following the invitation hymn, please stay. Christina, you come up. She wants to say a few words. And then Brandon, I'll ask you to come up. Phil will then join. Phil has prepared some remarks and I think Phil is the exact person, knowing both the ministry and the military, and the power of God to speak words of truth, and will be part of that. And then we're going to ask, when they're all here, for all who are able to come to the front and surround Brandon. And then we will carry on with what we have. And then Phil will give the benediction. And following that, right out front, Brandon had asked for a picture. Please, everyone that is here, you're welcome to be part of that picture. It will be important for this young man. Jessica, at this time, we'll have our invitation hymn.
Our invitation hymn will be hymn 17, I Sing Praises. We'll sing one verse of hymn 17. Let us stand and sing together.
I sing praises to your name, O Lord, praises to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name, O Lord, praises to your name, O Lord. You can get in front. Everyone, just assemble out. Did you want to do it inside or outside? Okay. Our Father, as we leave today, we leave knowing the power of the gospel. We leave giving our blessings to Brandon. And we ask that you keep him in your peace and in your love and that we also may be praying for him daily, and that you will bring us back to this place again, safe and sound. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So we're going to do it out front. Is that what, okay. Everybody, please come out front, and we'll have it where everybody can be a part of it.